You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots, eight, nine lines down, whatever it is, from the top. We are analyzing that Braisa, the Braisa that spoke about the four Rishuyos, right? Rishuyos, Rishuyos, Rabim, Carmelis, Malkum Patur. So we are analyzing that Braisa further. We mentioned the list of a few things, right? Taking a look, that was on Vav Amud. That was Vav Amud Aleph, right? So we had when it was speaking about the Carmelis, so it described Aval Yam Ubika V'Istavnus V'HaCarmelis. That right? We have whether it's a sea or a valley or this bench area and a Carmelis. They're lo kirushas rabim, lo kirushas yachid. But hold on, says the Gemara. Wait a minute. Something you might have noticed at the time, and I think I glazed over it when I translated it when we did it. But the Gemara is going to take it to task now. Hold on, says the Gemara. The Carmelis, atu kulu nami lav Carmelis ninu. Is it true that these other things are not also Carmelis? Right. All those Didn't we define a Carmelis as the exact definition of the middle ground between Rishus HaRav and Rishus HaYachid? It sounds like these were all examples of a Carmelis. So why would the Braisa say the Yam, the Bika, the Istavnus, and a Carmelis? These are all different types of Carmelios, if that's how you would say it. So the Gemara responds, Ki also Rav Dimi and Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He'd bring back the teachings of Rav Yochanan, the great early Amora of Eretz Yisrael. He bring back his teachings, and he said, "Lo nitzrucha ela lekeren zavis hasmucha l'rishus harabim." This is only necessary. Meaning, the lashon of Carmelis is only necessary to include a keren zavis, like a corner of a house that's close to the rishus harabim. So Rashi is going to explain over here what that means. Rashi says, it's to include a different category of Carmelis. Kigon Karen Zavis Shenichnas Bo Bayis Lasocho, a corner that enters it in the house, into it. Vaniach Mikarko Lishus Rabin, and then it rests on its ground to the Rishus Rabin, meaning. He's actually going to have another shot in a minute, exactly what this means, but imagine like a line of houses, right? So this is like a line of houses, and there's a house. It's very awkward for me on the Zoom, because it's a mirror, or it's not mirror image, so I'm not used to this, okay. But imagine, you have a house, and then a house, and then I'm just going to look at my own hands and not at the screen. So you have a house, and a house, and a house, and a house. So there's like, this is the line of the houses, and there's the Rosh Hashanah out here. But one of the houses is actually farther back. One of the houses is farther back. So you have like this, like a crevice, like a nook in the space of houses, because one of the houses is pushed farther back than the rest of the line. Yeah, does that make sense? A little bit. Should I try to explain again?
I can just show an article with the diagram.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Meaning, instead of like a row of houses looking like this,
Is that being seen?
No.
If the camera's in the right place or not? How do I do this? Yes. I know. All right.
Sorry. Yeah. Imagine that this is like the right. So the top of my fingers is out to the Rosh Hashanah, and the bottom of my fingers, it's a 2D picture, right? The bottom of my fingers is like a row of houses, but one of the houses is farther back. So there's a space. There's like a space in front of the house in between the other houses.
Well, if I can revise it, so I guess if you have, let's say, four houses out of five houses, four of the houses are built up to the property line, and one of the five is recessed.
Yes.
20 feet back. So that 20 feet area in front of that one house compared to the other four, that would be the example of Karen's other
side. Yes,
so
thank you.
One interpretation.
Yes, Rashi's going to have another shot over here. in the next comment. Right? So anyway, it's not, I mean, Rashi's next shot is going to be that, like, well, we'll just go on to it. Skip a few words into the next Rashi. He says, Inami, another pshat, is, Ba'yesh she'ponav omed ba'achlason she'zivaso, right? So the house is like standing at a diagonal, she'zivaso, achas smucha l'rishus rabim, v'shnia meshucha m'rishus rabim, v'lifnim, right? So there's this, it's kind of the same basic idea, but it's like they're on diagonals. So there's like two spaces, two like of these like crevices on a diagonal. And so right, achas smucha l'rishus rabim, v'shnia meshucha l'rishus rabim, the second one is like drawn out from the shazaram, the lefnim, and on the inside, zavis haboletes ma'akeves esarabim me'lekanes v'hedja, and it's going to hold back people from getting in there, you know, directly. B'soch kinesa shel zavis ha'acheres. So either way, what it's going to, so that this is this like middle ground area where it's kind of it can't quite be called rishus harabim. Because it's not, it's not normally, people don't go, normally go there. That's not how people pass. It's like awkward, it's uncomfortable, it's, you're going inside like the space of another house, whether it's through a diagonal or it's through a, or it's like straight, but you're going into one of these like private area spaces, even though it's kind of like public, you know, it belongs to the public, but it's not where people are publicly going, and therefore it can't be considered a Rishus HaRabim Midiraisa, Midirabana, but this is what we're going to call a Carmelist. In fact, this may be the primary case of a Carmelist. That's actually what they're going to, you know, coin the term Carmelist, and then the other things might actually, you know, have taken this status of Carmelist, could be later on or indirectly as a result, but the reason is that this, more than anything else, is it's very easy to confuse this area with the Rishus HaRabim because it's directly connected to the Rishus HaRabim. Sometimes people end up in these spaces on Shabbos, so they answered it as calling it a Carmelist, and this is a new case that's being included. So now back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says that it's coming to include the Carmelist is like the prototype Carmelist, which is a Karen Zavis Hasmuch L'Rishus HaRabim. It's this corner, which is close to L'Rishus HaRabim. De'af agav de'zimnin de'dachakei bei rabim va'aili l'gava. That even though that there are times that dachakei bei, that people are like, the rabim are pushed there, va'aili l'gava, and they go up into it. Kevin de'lonicha tashmishte, since its use is not, it's not nicha, it's not convenient, it's not good. It's not typically a comfortable use, it's not something that people typically use as much as they would use like the regular Rishus HaRabim. Ki Carmelist dummy. It's like a Carmelist. It got the status of Carmelist and therefore the Bryce is coming to include that and it calls that a Carmelist. I'm sorry?
This is a Rishus HaYachid.
Is it? No, it's probably Makom Patur. Makom Patur.
Interesting.
Right, because if it was a Rishus Yachid, then you would be able to carry in that if it was its own Rishus. Though it could be that this, it could be made into a Rishus Yachid. Actually, I think there might be, could be the Rishon discuss, you know, wait, why isn't it a Rishus HaYachid? Because right, it's walled off. So it could be that it might be considered its own Rishus. I think that's something the Rishonim deal with. But I think the Pashas is that we're talking about a Makom Patur. Okay. So let's continue. Another teaching from the same source, Ki Asa Rav, and related topics. Ki Asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Bein ha'amudin nidon ke Carmelist." Something between the pillars, the space between the pillars, is judged, is considered a Carmelist. So, what are these pillars? Rashi says, "Shahayu amudin berachava." So, there, what in the marketplaces they used to have these amudim, these pillars. Vitolin behen hatagarim pragmatia. The merchants would hang their merchandise on it, right? So they were selling garments. They would nail it into these pillars that were there throughout the marketplace. The gam itzdabaos hayulifneim leishev sham hatagarim, and then there were also these itzdabaos, right? These benches, these blocks that they would use as seats in front of the pillars. So you can imagine this is like this public thoroughfare. It's a rishus harabim, and then off to the side of it there are these pillars scattered throughout, and in front, and there's merchandise hanging from it, and a bench in front of it in which the merchants would sit. So the halacha is that these are considered like a carmelis. My taima. So why are these things considered like a carmelis? So avagav de darsi barabim, right? So maybe these should be considered like a rishus harabim, right? This is part of the like a marketplace plaza. Why would they not be considered rishus harabim? So the Gemara says, defending the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, Afagav de darsi barabim, even though the rabbim are doris there, they trample, they go through there, kevan delo mistagi luhu behedja, since you don't walk through it behedja explicitly, or in this case directly, ki karmelis damya, it's like a karmelis. Rashi explains mistagi luhu behedja, shahoyu amudim harbe, ba'orech v'rocha v'zeh shalo k'neged zeh, that there were a lot of pillars among the length and the width, but they weren't evenly matched. Like, it wasn't a bunch of, parallels, one after the other. It wasn't even. So it's kind of like a little bit of an obstacle course. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like, you kind of weave through in and out. It was like an obstacle course. And therefore, to consider that, or a rishus harabim, is not correct. That wouldn't be a rishus harabim. Therefore, it's a makom patur, but it was considered a karmelis midrabanan. Reb Zera says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, in the name of Yehuda, itztaba shelifnei amudim nidon ke karmelis." The itztaba, right? So this like block bench that's in front of the amudim, so that also is judged to be like a karmelis. So Reb Zera is quoting Rav Yehuda independently. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is also a very early Amora. Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmud of Shmuel, so it's another Amoraic teaching. This one from quoted by Rav Zera, and he says that the Itzdaba is considered a carmelis. So presumably it was a Itzdaba of size. So let's take a look at what these two opinions would do with each other. The Gemara tries to analyze this. Lemanda amar bein hamudim. So to the one who says that bein hamudim, in this pillar obstacle course, that's considered carmelis, meaning Rabbi Yochanan, kol shekein itztaba. All the more so an itztaba. Right? Because an itztaba, this bench, it's pretty high up. It's definitely something that people don't go through, right? Meaning an itztaba is a block in the road. People, if it's large, people are not going to walk on top of the bench. They're not, right? So like, if you're going to say pillars, which are inconvenient to go through, you can't kind of, it makes it difficult. So we can't consider that a rishus harabim. So it's a makom patur. And then the rabbanon are machmir and say it's a karmelis. So all the more so an itztaba. Is that because in itztaba, for sure you can't consider that a rishus harabim. For sure not. But if it's therefore it's considered a karmelis. But it can't be a rishus harabim because it's inconvenient. It's a roadblock, almost literally, or maybe literally, and therefore therefore that can't be considered. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan would surely agree with the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rav Dimi quoting Rav Yochanan would surely agree with Rav Zera quoting Rav Yehuda. But La Amanda Amar Itztaba, to the one who says the Itztaba hu delo nicho tashmishte, aval ben amudim de nicho tashmishte lo. He would, so Lav Davka would would Rav Yehuda agree with Rav Yochanan, meaning he says no, and it's, why did I say an itztaba is considered a karmelis? And because it's a makom patur, why did I say that? Because an istava is, but you can't go through it, right? The bear hunt, right? You can't go, you can't go over, you can't go around, you gotta through, right? So it's very, very, very difficult. But a pillar obstacle course, okay, you can go through it. So it's not so impossible. So he wouldn't necessarily agree. In fact, it could be we would even say he certainly disagrees, otherwise he would have said the exact case. So avadinicha tashmishte lo lishnachrina. Another way to learn that avo bein amudim dezimnin dedarsi le'rabim kirshus rabim damya. Or another way is that bein amudim. Since there are times that the rabim goes through it, it's like a rishus rabim. Again, it's the same idea that he said it wouldn't be considered like a karmelis. It wouldn't be a makom patur because people can go through it. The Rishonim, I believe, discuss whether there's a nafkamina here between the two Lishonos. It could just be that it's quoted, though, as a different way it was phrased. Whether it's denicha tashmishte or that the zimnin didarsi rabim. But the bottom line is that he wouldn't necessarily agree with the other approach. He says it's deba. And that would not include Bein Amudim, and Bein Amudim would not be a Malkum Patur, it would be considered Rishus Rabim, and then Asher Medir Reis, it wouldn't just be a Karmelis. Amar Rabba Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chizda, Levena Zakufa, an upright brick, Rishus Rabim, that's standing in the Rishus Rabim, so an upright brick, Rashi says, this Levena, where is it? Is stam levena archa v'rachava gimel ve'en la ve'ashir yesh mehen avos ve'yesh mehen dakos. So the stam brick was had a width of 3 and a length of 3. It was a 3x3, and then how tall it was, how thick it was, that varied based on the size of the brick. But there was a standard levena, a standard brick size of width and length. So you have one of these upright. It doesn't mean it means the way it would be built into a building. So like this, not like this. My hands are awkward again. Okay, so I think next time we'll just bring paper diagrams. I can't handle this. or I can actually invert my Zoom. So levena zakufa brishus rabin. So v'zarak v'tach befaneha. So you threw something. And then it stuck on the surface, right? So you threw something into it now, and now it's upright brick. It's on the surface, so now it didn't land on the ground. It's something that you could throw and would stick to a surface, right? Kigon devela shmena otit, says Rashi, like a fatty cake of figs or some clay, right? You throw it, right? And you can imagine people, little kids doing outside the shul with some, glob of mud or whatever it is. So that sticks against the wall. So now, so what just happened here? So chayiv, you're chayiv if you threw it against it. Al gaba putter. But if it landed on top, then it would be putter. And we're going to qualify this in a minute. We'll take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, im zarak dalad amos, tahavi kamunach brashus rabin. Decholamatim yud, right? So that's something. So what happened? He threw it 4 amos, and now it landed on this side of the brick. So it's as if it landed in Rishus Rabim. Decholamatim yud Rishus Rabim hu, and as long as it's under 10 tefachim in Rishus Rabim, so it's part of the Rishus Rabim. Uvilvad sheyenuach lamatim igimel, dehavi kekarka, o ba'avir, kihai. Right. So this is dafka if it. We'll go a little further in the Gemara and then we'll go back and explain this. So because we're going to get into what it might be of under 3 tefachim and the impact that's going to have. So over here, if it sticks against it, he's going to be chayiv. But al gaba, he's going to be putter. And because this is going to be its own rishus if it's on top. It's not considered part of the right because it's three by three tefachim, and so it's its own rishus. So Abaye and Rava are going to qualify this point quickly. Abaye v'Rava damri tarvayu v'hu shegavoa shlosha delo darsi lo rabim. This is if it's above three tefachim, because then the rabbim are not going to be doris on it. Because if the rabbim are being doris on it, if they're walking over it, then it's completely part of the rishus of rabbim. If it's under three tefachim, but if it's three tefachim tall, people aren't going to be going on it. Then it's its own rishus. Aval hisme vehige, but if it's like different types of like thorn bushes, aval gav de lo gavish shlosha. Even if they're not three tefachim high, still a person is going to be potter. Why? So what's it about Gvi v'hizmi? So Rashi just says, Dortzai, Iglatar, Afagav de lo gavo gimel, have makom patur la'atma de lo darsi v'rabim alea shalo yizoku. Because people are not going to step in it because they don't want to be damaged. So people don't want to be damaged by these thorns, so that's considered its own rishus, even if it's under three tefachim. Right? So meaning, when it's thrown against it, and it's, let's say it's under 10 tefachim, as Rashi said, it's thrown against it. So that's considered part of the rishus of Rabim. You carried, right? You threw it there. You carried into a rishus, for Amos. If it lands on top, that's not considered landing in the rishus of Rabim. It's considered landing in its own rishus, which is a malkum patur. It's, right? 3x3 tefachim. It's a malkum patur. It's its own rishus. But if it's not 3 tefachim high, which we're calling the thickness, then if it's not 3 tefachim high, if it's 3 tefachim high, then it's its own rishus. But if it's under 3 tefachim, people walk all over that. And therefore, it's considered part of the rishus rabim. It's not your own rishus, and therefore you would be chayiv. But, says Rabbi and Rava, they qualify, if it's something that, even if it's under 3 tefachim, but people won't go on it, because, let's say, they don't want to, you know, get thorns in their feet, so then it would be fine. So now, but we're going to see a dissenting view. That because people walk over that with their sandals. So people, if you're wearing shoes, people don't mind about this. They don't mind hizmi vehigi. So because of that meaning, and even if a person wasn't wearing shoes, but because the hizmi and the higi are something that it's not impossible, it's not like a real obstacle. Many people in the street walk over these under 3 tefach thorn bushes because they have shoes and they're not worried about it. You know, I mean, imagine like usually those are their sandalay and their sandals. Like I don't think I would walk over a thorn bush in my sandals. You know, but at least the sandals they had, they were comfortable with doing that, and therefore you can't tell me that that's a complete impediment to the rishus of Rabim, that we consider this a rishus, that it's its own rishus. No, it's not its own, your own rishus. But soa, I draw the line at soa. If there's excrement in the ground, no one wants to step in excrement. I don't care what sandals you have, nobody wants to step in excrement. Aval soa lo, v'ravashi amar afilu soa. Rashi says no, even soa. Why? Let's explain. So no Rashi over here. Okay, so he says right. So, but seemingly he's saying that that it also doesn't matter, right? That you know, it's not just because people don't want to go in it doesn't mean that it's going to be considered its own rishus, right? Okay, so people don't want to go in it, but it's not considered its own rishus. It needs to be. 3 tefachim in order for it to be its own rishus. Amarava de Bereshila, or Amarava Baroshila, ki asur of dimi, Amarav Yochanan, ein karmelis pechusamer ba'a. So Rabbi Yochanan says that a karmelis is not less than 4 tefachim. Right, this is the teaching. A karmelis is not less than 4 tefachim. Okay, it has to be at least 4 tefachim. Vamarav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes added a rule to the qualifications of a karmelis, vitofeses ad asara. And it's tofesis, to be tofes, to grab, its reach is until 10. So that's an unclear phrase, and we're going to try to give a few pshatim in what that might mean. Maiva tofesis adasar, what does that mean? That it's tofesis, its grasp, its reach is until 10. First pshat, ilam, if you're going to say, de'ika mechitza asara, hu dehavi karmelis, if you're going to tell me that that this is the rule of a karmelis, if there's a 10 tefach wall, a mechitza, then it's considered a karmelis, v'ilo lo havi karmelis, and if there's no 10 tefach wall, it's not considered a karmelis, that can't be true. V'lo, no, that's not considered a karmelis. V'hamar rav gidol marav chiyah bar yosef amarav bias she'en basoho asara. So, but we have this case that, in the name of Rav, that if you have a house that doesn't have in it asara, it's a 9 tefach house, vikruyo mishlemo lasara, and its roof completes the 10 tefachim. So right, so now you have a house that's not 10 tefachim. It's 9 tefach walls. The walls are 9 tefachim, but the it's a thick roof, a tefach thick roof, and so from the top of the roof, it's the top of the roof is 10 tefachim from the ground, but inside the house it's only a 9 tefach ceiling. So al gango mutar letaltel, on the roof it's mutar to move things around, right? This is a mokum patur. You're allowed to move things around. Metaltel v'kula, and all of it. Besocho, but within the house, which is under 10 tefachim, ein metaltelin bo. We are not allowed to be metaltel in it. We're not allowed to move things around in it. Ela dalad amos. Only dalad amos, meaning up until dalad amos. So that, which is considered a karmelis. We're saying over here that in a karmelis, you're allowed to carry less than 4 amos. So we're saying over here that if it's a 9 tefach, if it's 10 tefachim from the ground, the roof, so the roof is its own reshus, and it's since it's smaller than 4 tefachim, it's a malkum patur, he's allowed to carry in it. But within it, he's not allowed to be metalto because it's a 9 tefach wall. Ah, we see over here it's a karmelis with a wall that's under that's 9 tefachim. It's under 10 tefachim. So when Rav Sheshe said that the tofeses is ad asara, he could not have been saying that in order for it to be a karmelis, it needs a wall that is 10 tefachim. That could not be what Rav Sheshe was saying because this teaching proves otherwise. So rather, another pshat, Ella. My vitafes is ad asara. Da ad asara hu da havia karmelis lemala mi yutvachim lo havi karmelis. No, he's saying that the maximum size of a karmelis is going to be 10 tvachim. But above 10 tvachim is not considered a karmelis anymore. It's its own reshus and it's in a makam patur. Vechi ha adamar, but zakinavi, vechi ha adamar le shmuel rev Yehuda. But that's also problematic, because Shmuel once said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, sharp one, lo tahavi b'mili d'sham solamala miyud. Do not say things about Shabbos above 10 tefachim. So, l'may hilchas, so what Tohalach is this referring to? So what we're trying to clarify what the vague statement of Rav Sheshes did not mean from a vague statement of Shmuel to Rav Yehuda, which we're not sure yet what it means. So we're going to try to figure out what Shmuel meant to Rav Yehuda, and through that we're going to see what Rav Sheshes could not have meant when hit with his vague statement. Okay? Was I clear with the vague statement? Okay. So this is what he said. He said, Shinana, don't talk about things about Shabbos and carrying on Shabbos above 10 tefachim. My hechaza. So Eliyahu, if you were telling me that he's saying, De'ein reshus ha'yachid l'mala miyud, that a reshus yachid does not go above 10 tefachim, meaning above 10 tefachim, it's not the reshus yachid anymore, it's a malkum patur. That can't be. V'hamar Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda said, Na'atz kana b'reshus yachid, if you stick a kana, a reed, or a pole in a reshus yachid, v'zarach v'nach al gabav, and you threw something and it lands on top of it. So right, so you have this high up, over 10 tefachim, pole in the reshus yachid, and you threw something on top of it. Afila gvoa mea ama, even if it was 100 ama. So this guy has some arm, right? He throws it up on this, and it reaches the top of the pole in 100 ama pole in reshus yachid. So it's over 10 tefachim, right? 100 ama is certainly over 10 tefachim. What's the halacha? Chayiv mipnei shereshus yachid ola ad rakia. He's chayiv because the reshus yachid goes forever up into the sky. Sky's the limit, right? Sky's the limit when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Therefore, even if you threw 100 amos, it's over 10 tefachim, it's still considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So when Shmuel was telling Rav Yehuda, Shinana, don't talk about Hilchos Shabbos and carrying over 10 tefachim, he couldn't have been talking Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So rather what? Ella de'ein Rosh Hashanah Rabin l'mala meyud. Rather, he's saying that a Rosh Hashanah Rabin does not go over 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim high in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, once you're 10 tefachim, that's already a new Rosh Hashanah already. But this is also going to be problematic. Because Masnisen he, we have a Mishnah that teaches us this, as the Mishnah says. Hazorik arba amos ba kosel. Somebody who throws something for amos, and then it goes against a wall. L'mala me'asara tefachim kizorik ba'avir. So if it goes higher than 10 tefachim, it's kizor. It's like he threw it in the avir, and then he's potter. L'mata me'asara tefachim kizorik ba'aretz. But if it's under 10 tefachim, it's as if he threw it on the ground, which would make him chayiv. So we see over here that that the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Sorry, we see over here that a Rosh Hashanah, that it's pashut. It's ever pashut to us that a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't extend beyond 10 tefachim. So Shmuel could not have been saying that as well. Okay, so maybe we'll call it here for tonight, and the Rebbe will take over.